Welcome back to our webinar. We are with the 4th Annual Autism Conference Center for Moms Fighting Autism. We are so lucky to have with us today Nancy Guberti. Nancy regularly shares her expertise on Blog Talk Radio, educating the public about biomedical interventions and promoting functional medicine testing to address health issues. She's a guest speaker for Diamond Dallas, Diva Tanya, Backstage Pass, and other health-related shows. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Nancy.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to spread the awareness about the biomedical and nutritional interventions in treating children and adults on the autism spectrum and other related disorders. I got very passionate about helping children with special needs when my youngest son had many health issues as a child and was not reaching his own milestones. And it was through the use of biomedical intervention and nutritional intervention that really turned everything around. And I've been a Defeat Autism Now practitioner for the past 15 years, as well as a gluten-free, casein-free diet counselor and a functional medicine lab specialist. So I'd like to share some of the information that we can cover in today's presentation. Okay. On the PowerPoint presentation, I wanted everyone to understand that there is biomedical research that does suggest that food and supplements and a biomedical intervention really can positively affect an individual. And not only children, but adults. Like in the past, at some of the Autism Research Institute conferences, they would always stress that you have to get everything done before the child turns 5. And what we have seen through the years is that there can be progress, positive progress, even after 5. So I have patients that come in at a very young age, infants, all the way up till 40 years of age, and we see progress in all these different age ranges. How much progress depends on what type of body issues and health issues and imbalances that we're dealing with, and then how many years one has been possibly having some type of toxic insult from food or the environment keep entering the body. So there is no magic bullet at any age, but it's definitely something to look into, especially when you go to conventional doctors, your pediatrician and your neurologist, that all play a very important role in the health of your child, but lots of them do not understand that there are biomedical interventions. They don't understand about the nutritional intervention because they weren't taught this at their medical school. And unless they have had a personal experience with this, they really don't know how to guide the parents. That's why I'm a big fan of doing these type of awareness presentations. So biomedical, you know, if you have heard about it and you wonder what exactly that is, well, we're looking at how does the body function. And in order to really understand how the body functions, you would want to look into functional medicine lab work. Now, there's tons of tests that could be run, and we're going to go into that into greater detail. I don't recommend doing numerous tests. I just recommend doing the ones that are going to benefit the most and then start a customized regimen. If we need to go further or if the child plateaus, then we could do additional testing. So you don't really need a significant upfront expense. We just want to know how is the body functioning. And so that's biomedical, looking at functional medicine. Nutritional intervention is coming back to the basics and saying, well, what is coming into the body? If it's clean food, if it's nutritious food, if it's balanced food, then we hope we are feeding the brain and the central nervous system and eliminating toxins that can cause or exacerbate sensory issues or autistic characteristics. So it's a combination of those two. So I always feel that knowledge is power. I'm here to empower you today. I would highly suggest if you're on Twitter or Facebook, follow me. It's just Nancy Guberti. My website is nancyguberti.com, and that's NancyGuberti.com. I put up the latest research of information, of biomedical information, the latest research coming out that shows how environment and toxins and foods can affect the brain, the mood, one's clarity. So it's good for you to have this at your fingertips, and it's not always available in the most common magazines. So you could get this information, and there's always links on my Twitter and Facebook accounts. So we want to talk about and give you the knowledge for biomedical interventions, lab testing, the different specialized diets that are out there, because it's beyond just gluten-free, casein-free, and then people are like, oh my gosh, what's this low oxalate mean? What's this mean? And do I need to do them all? And that's where a parent or a caregiver gets overwhelmed. So if we could just take away the fear behind each one of these terminologies, then that's just a way to go into the positive direction. And then supplements and vitamins and detoxification. So many people want to come in and chelate and detoxify. And why that's important to know that planning is very important when one chelates a child. You can't just say, I'm going to chelate a child first without checking certain things, because you can then do more harm than good. And how do you apply all these strategies and be empowered to implement a biomedical approach? So first we say, well, okay, biomedically, what happened to my child, to my adult child? What happened? Was there food sensitivities? If you go to a conventional doctor, they just check for food allergies. And depending on the lab that they're using, if it's not a specialized lab, it's not always accurate. So it could be false information. So we want to know food sensitivities. Think about your own eating. If you have something with MSG in it, do you get a headache? Do you get a stomach ache? If you have something with dyes in it or too much sugar, how do you get? Are you mentally foggy? Are you exhausted? Can you not do what you need to do for that day? Food affects our bodies. Can we absorb it? And is it any nutritional value to it? Lots of foods have excitotoxins, and that's where we go further than the gluten-free, casein-free diet. Then does someone have candida, which is a yeast overgrowth? And lots of times you could see this on the skin as well, when you have those little red bumps on a child's skin, usually around the stomach, the tush, thigh area. So does someone have candida? Do they have that bloated stomach, which can be candida? Are they addicted to simple carbohydrates and sugars? This could be a very vicious cycle and plays into or exasperates lots of the symptoms and characteristics on the spectrum. And then does a person have parasites? More and more children as well as adults have parasites. Now, it could be numerous things. It could be that the food is not clean. You know, there's a whole new documentary talking about salmon and how they could have parasites and worms, and they could have viruses if they're farm-raised, and even the ones that are swimming in the river can be affected, because now what happens is the water has become polluted. So does the individual have parasites? Do they usually, do they like then to play with water? And these are things that we would want to know. Are they exposed to chemicals and pesticides, not only in our food, but in the lawn, in the house, in the schools, if they're having bug sprays and they're full of chemicals and not the more organic ones? Did the child have a viral overload? So this could be numerous things. It could be that they were vaccinated on a day that they were sick, so they could not fight off all these different viruses. This could be a child who has strep back-to-back, or they can't fight off any flu. So now there's an overload and their immune system is weakened, and there could be inflammation in the neurons. does this child have chronic bacteria? So that's where you could say, well, how many times did my child go on antibiotics? Was this child exposed to heavy metals? You know, not only in vaccines, and you have to ask to see the insert of the vaccine, because did they remove the mercury and then put aluminum in there? Well, those are still heavy metals. But if they're not eating organic or free-range chicken, they could be exposed to arsenic. Lots of rice now has arsenic in it. Apple juice, arsenic. So these are the heavy metals that they could be exposed to. Antibiotic overuse, vaccination, and then processed diet lacking clean ingredients. And what I mean by clean ingredients is if you take a meal and you say, okay, I had chicken, I had broccoli, that's clean. That's a one ingredient. There's broccoli, there's chicken. Now, if I go into Lunchables, those are processed and they're not clean, meaning if you look at the box and read the label, there's like 25 ingredients, and some of them are artificial. So why is food so important? And it's because there's a gut-brain connection. It's well established. It's documented in the scientific research for many different health conditions. So if we have a healthy gut, our GI tract, and it's, you know, lots of parents will say, oh, yes, my child has GI issues. And some people say, oh, no, I thought my child would have to be vomiting, diarrhea, constipation to have GI issues. No, we need to know, how's the gut function? Do we have good beneficial bacteria? Are there problems? Does the individual get bloated or have gas or have some type of acid reflux issues? That's a digestion issue. If they're not eliminating and having a daily bowel movement, that's also part of the gut and the digestion process. That's the last one. So we need to establish a very good gut-brain connection. The healthier the gut, the healthier the central nervous system functioning, and then there are positives in behavior and cognition and mental clarity. So that's one thing to keep in mind. The other thing to keep in mind is there is a gut immune system connection. And it's because 80% of our immune system resides in our GI tract, in our gut. So we should have 500 species of bacteria. They say there could even be more. We want to make sure that the bad bacteria on our stomach lining is crowded out with the good bacteria. So we talk about good and bad bacteria. So if we're having yogurt and we know that, oh, it has acidophilus and bifidus in it, those are the good bacteria. So we should have 85% good and 15% bad. Most of the American diets is reversed. It's 15% good and 85% bad. So right there, we know there's a problem. And we're not feeding our body and our mind healthy nutrients. So we need really to work at this. And it happens from, you know, it happens in womb. So we have to go back to the pregnancies and see, did the mom have a yeast infection? Were they put on antibiotics? When the baby was born, was the baby born vaginal or was the baby born C-section? Did they get all of the colonization of the bacteria? And if they were born C-section, then they did not necessarily get that. So that right then and there, when I have infants, 12-day-olds come in, newborns, into the office, I put them on an infant probiotic, which is safe for pregnant moms to have and pass through the breast milk, as well as if it was a formula-fed baby, we just sprinkle it, a powder, into the bottle for them to get the good bacteria. So then we look at some other areas that are very common, commonly affected when we look at biomedical, is the adrenal overload, adrenal fatigue. We have adults as well as children that have adrenal fatigue. It's the society we live in. It's the way our food is processed. So if you're one that has dark circles under the eyes, if the child does, you know, lots of people say, oh, that's hereditary. Well, then perhaps everyone in the family has adrenal overload or fatigue, hypoglycemia, lack of mental alertness, the immune system, allergies, chronic fatigue. So the adrenal system is very key with any type of sensory issue, autism-related disorder, behavioral issue, stimming. We look at the adrenal system, and we look at the dopamine, the serotonin, and other neurotransmitters, and we want to see, are we nourishing the adrenal system? And then are the B vitamins and C vitamins, how are those nutritional markers for this individual? Because the body's going to try to self-regulate the adrenal system and nourish it, but if they can't, we need to take care of that. And another point for the adrenal system is that when we're eating food that is not clean, that is has excitotoxins, that has MSG, that has a lot of sugar or corn syrup, we are actually putting more stress on the adrenal system. So common candida and parasite symptoms, if the child displays stomach pains, if any type of skin issue, trouble concentrating, you know, also if they are like the Superman syndrome, where if the child runs into the corner of a piece of furniture and just brushes it off and keeps going or doesn't even really feel it, but you know another child would be screaming bloody murder, well, that child usually has some type of candida overgrowth or parasite for that matter, but something's going on in the gut that they can't, their central nervous system is not getting the signals that there was pain. Also, OCD, anger management, we deal with by looking and healing the gut as well. So outbursts all come here. If you have a child who has intense cravings for sugars, sweets, simple carbs, and, you know, very picky eater with those foods, usually it's candida overgrowth. So does food play a role? 100%. Because it, depending on the food, we are introducing toxicities. If the child has a faulty methylation process, sulfation process, they can't detoxify. They're taking these toxins in, and it's not doing them any good. And it's just basically putting more pressure and stress on the imbalances biomedically, and biomedically affects neurologically. It's all affected emotionally. Everything's connected. You know, our whole body is connected. We can't just say, okay, let's just look at the head and not anything else. So we usually see that inflammation starts in the stomach, and then when there's so much of it, it has to then flow out. It flows next either to the lungs, it flows out to the brain. It keeps going. It's saturated, and it goes throughout the system. So you look at the food and say, okay, is it toxic? Are there antibiotics? Are there growth hormones? That's estrogen. Is there a yeast overgrowth there? How was the food processed? Is there MSG? Are there excitotoxins? Does the child have bad bacteria so then the gut can leak out all of this? That's why food plays a huge role. And I must say, I would say 95% of the children I see, their diets are definitely not balanced and not very clean. And no fault to the parents or the caregivers, you know, because they want to make sure that their child eats, and now this child's very, very picky, and now we got into this routine. So, yes, the diet is extremely important, and there was a proverb that said, when diet is wrong, medicine is of no use. When diet is correct, medicine is of no need. So it's very important. As opposed to, if I had a choice of saying supplements or cleaning the diet and getting the nutrients, you know, some people just want to do the supplement regimen but never clean the diet. Well, you know, so it's like we're in a boat that has a hole in it, and we're going to shove the supplements in the hole, but the pressure is going to constantly push it out. So it's really a no-win situation. We may see some improvement, but we're not getting to the full potential. So why has there been so much attention to gluten-free, casein-free diets for so many years? Well, it's the most documented, and it shows that if one cannot break down gluten or casein, so gluten is the protein found in your wheat and your rye and your barley, and casein is the protein, the milk protein found in any animal, such as a cow. Then they came out with goat milk and goat cheese and camel milk and every other animal around. Well, it all has casein in it. So the casein and the gluten, we do a test. It's a first morning urine test, and we check, can this individual, can this child or this adult break this down? If they can't, it is a drug to the body. It's toxic. So that's where we see sensory issues, clouded mental functioning. It's almost as if you felt drunk. They could have sleep issues. They could have this nighttime laughing syndrome for no reason. You're like, what are they laughing at? And when they're young, you might think it's cute, but then you realize, no, there's something not right. Or when I have families come in and say, oh, this child will never sleep unless they get their baba. I'm like, what's the baba? The bottle. Oh, what's in the bottle? The milk. I'm like, oh, right, because that's a drug. We do a test on those children, and they cannot break it down. And then we also get that Superman syndrome because the blocking of the pain messages, because they don't really feel. So the gluten-free, casein-free diet, that's one way to start. But in years past, there wasn't anything like coconut milk or hemp milk or sunflower seed milk or hazelnut milk. Back then, the first milk that really came out was a soy milk. And the problem with soy is we have to look at what all the foods turn into from a food chemical standpoint. And the chemical compound of soy is so similar to milk. So if a child cannot break down casein, we never want to put them on soy milk. They may progress a little, but they will plateau because now we're giving them a lesser drug. So it's going beyond just the gluten-free and casein-free. When you go to the health food store and you say, oh, this is gluten-free, this is casein-free. Yeah, but, okay, what is in there? Is it maize flour? Maize flour is from corn, and corn is an excitotoxin. So we really have to understand what is a clean, nutritious, gluten-free, casein-free diet. So additionally, other foods to avoid is anything with dyes, any color. Anytime you see a red dye, a yellow dye, a green dye, a blue dye, any type of dye, it's not natural. You'd be shocked what the derivative, what's the source of those things. Like the red dyes are from these beetles, and they're also carcinogenic. They're not natural, so that's not clean. There's a whole fine gold diet that one could follow, and that's removing all of the colors. We also want to remove additives. When it says natural flavor on a label, you need to call the company and ask what that is, because that's just an umbrella to catch anything. Natural flavor means nothing, and it definitely does not mean it's healthy. We must find out what it's from. So processed, well, how processed is it? We also need to look at what does my child really crave. I've never had anyone come in my office and say, my comfort food is steamed broccoli and a nice grass-fed, grass-finished piece of meat. That's it. So what we crave is usually something that's going to comfort us. That's where it comes from. And what usually comforts us is a simple carb or sugar. So if that individual has candida, that's a vicious cycle. So common allergen foods, if you see that the child, when they eat a banana, they're a little bit off, you know, that would be some type of food intolerance. Any foods associated with behavioral issues, meltdowns, or mood swings. This is where I highly recommend each caregiver, each parent, should get a notebook and write down what did the child eat and how do they react. So you want to say breakfast, lunch, dinner, any snacks, or, you know, my child was off today. In what way were they off? If you become a food detective and you journal it, you may actually see a pattern. And then if you say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I really see a pattern, but whenever they eat these pretzels, okay, then go read the label. And then you'll find there's the hidden ingredient. Oh, okay, that is MSG. And I didn't even know it was MSG because it doesn't say MSG and it doesn't say monosodium glutamate. It has all these other names. If you ever see any red cheeks on a child's face, and it's not because they were running outside, but after they ate something, or red ears or dark circles under the eyes or any type of skin issue or reactions around the mouth, then they're having some type of intolerance. It may not be a food allergy, but it's an intolerance. And if they can't break it down, it's definitely not good for them. And obviously the peptides that can't be broken down for the casein and the gluten. So I always like to throw in the benefits of healthy, balanced meals because I feel that we have lost sight of what that actually is. Vegetables are more preferable than fruits because if we're eating too many fruits and not enough protein and vegetables, we can actually feed candida, and that could be way too much sugar. But if I had to choose between an actual piece of fruit or a fruit juice, I would never choose the juice. I would take the fruit because then you have skin and then you have fiber and you have other components as opposed to the juice. Protein is extremely important. In the third and fourth grade when they're doing standardized testing, I have a lot of families that come in that say, oh, my child, the school wants to put him on a medicine because they say they have ADD or ADHD or some type of thing going on. Well, we look at what they're eating. Half of them are not even having breakfast. The other half are having simple carbs and sugar. So make sure that there is a healthy protein with your meals. Reduction in sugar. Sugar intake should not be more than 32 milligrams a day. When I go into schools and I do a program and I have them count how many and I have them bring in their foods, they're up to 150 milligrams of sugar a day. It's unheard of. Their body can't process it. Years and years of that, you know, that's going to put too much stress on the pancreas, and that's where we're getting lots of kids with diabetes. So we really have to watch what we're giving this child. And lots of schools reward kids, even ABA schools reward kids with sugar. I don't get that. Anything artificial color and flavors should be removed from the plate. If we can go organic, that would be great. If we can't do it for the whole family, at least do it for the child that has that really could benefit the most from it. The functional medicine lab test. You know, so what would be the most important test? I would start out with an organic acid test. It's first morning urine. It's non-invasive. If the child's not potty trained, there's pediatric urine bags to put on. We collect the concentrated urine. We check over 72 markers. We're going to see how the body's functioning. Is there yeast? Is there candida? Is there bacteria? Are they absorbing? How's their Krebs cycle, their digestion, their adrenal system, their neurotransmitters? What about their nutritional markers like B12 and B6 and vitamin C and glutathione and COQ10 that are so important to check? Amino acids, their bone health. This all could be found out from one test. If the child's not gluten-free, casein-free, I highly recommend the peptide test to see can they break down gluten and casein. I would go with those right away. Then the others, the amino acids, the heavy metals, the stool testing, obviously, you know, that's another great one to do. But if we're looking on a budget, then we have to see from initial consultation and an intake and going over the extensive medical history and what they're eating now and are they taking any supplements or medicine. You want to find an experienced practitioner who will recommend as opposed to recommend the most beneficial lab test for you, as opposed to going to a practitioner who says you have to run every single one of these tests, which there are several of them. I say, you know, you have to spend $3,000 to $5,000, run the test, and then we have our consultation. That's crazy. Have the consultation first, find out what's going to be the most beneficial at this time, and then make sure that the practitioner will create a customized regimen, not just give you the test results for you to do what with. It's too overwhelming. So why is functional medicine testing important? You could get a lot of insight into the biomedical intervention. We could see, does the body have a burden of oxidative stress, mitochondrial dysfunction, which is very much connected with autism, and that mitochondrial is the powerhouse of every cell. If the cells are not communicating or they're lacking the ability to communicate at full potential, we need to support that. Is there impaired detoxification in any of these areas? Are there gastrointestinal dysfunction, malabsorption? So if there's malabsorption and we're taking the best supplements and eating really good, healthy food, well, again, we're not getting 100%. And how's the immune system? So those are some of the things that we could find out. A biomedical approach, there's many. So there's the testing. If we come back, if the test results come back with yeast and parasites and pathogenic bacteria, we need to address that. You could address all of these with homeopathic remedies, with natural supplements and herbs. And you can also do it with conventional medicine. It really totally depends on the family's choice. But you want, and again, be with a practitioner who will at least give you the information on both sides. Here's conventional medicine that would take care of this, and here's the natural way that would take care of this. So if you want to test the vitamins and the mineral deficiencies, you can do that with the organic acid test, and you could do that with a hair test to see mineral as well as heavy metals. If you want to go into the diets, there's the casein-free diet. Some people just want to do that. The gluten-free diet, you want to stick to this 100% and at least for a year, because it takes a while for the body to rid itself of all of that from the past eating habits. Then there's the SCD diet, low oxalate diet, yeast-free diet. There's the GAPS diet. There's so many. What I would not want is for a family to be stressed out following all these different type of diets. Again, that's where you want to work with an experienced practitioner who will say, from what I see in these test results and what I see that this child gravitates to as far as food, these are the recommendations. Then we go into sulfation issues. Is there a problem with detoxification? Epsom salts are great to if the child is taking a bath. I remember when my children were young, I would put the whole container of Epsom salts in their baths, and they would love to play in there, at least stay in there for 20 minutes. It helps detoxify, puts magnesium into the body as well. So supplementing with fatty acids, lots of parents have their children on so many fish oils. And then we do the test, and the child has a fatty acid oxidation issue, meaning they cannot absorb those fats. So instead of just throwing things and seeing what's going to stick, usually it's best to find out how is that child functioning. Because if you talk to other families and they say, oh, well, I tried this and this and that, that's great. You have that information. But every child and every adult is unique. So their bodies may be able to handle those things, and then your child could be totally different. And then it might not serve them well. And you say, oh, I tried that and I didn't see anything. Well, that wasn't the issue, or they couldn't handle it. Enzyme supplementation, I highly believe in digestive enzymes. We should all give our body help to digest. We come into this world with a set number of digestive enzymes. Unless we're eating a raw diet, then we should really help the body supplement, because once we run out of those enzymes or there are not enough of those enzymes, that's when you have a lot of digestion issues, gas, burping, repeating of foods, and those are not supposed to be common attributes to any human being. Probiotics, I'm a big fan of, and then looking at each one of these supplements, you also want to make sure you get the highest quality, purest supplement. Otherwise, they could have maltodextrin from corn in them. They could have soy in it. They could be made from milk. So you really, again, want guidance with that. homeopathic remedies, lots of homeopathic remedies. You want to see when they ferment and make an alcohol to keep everything preserved. You want to make sure that it's like a sorghum and it's not corn, because then that's an excitotoxin or not a grain alcohol as well. Glutathione, there's many ways to enhance glutathione. It doesn't have to be invasive. Immune systems, we need to look at that. Thyroid, we want to know, is the thyroid fine? B12 shots. Again, you need a plan. These are the different biomedical approaches, but you definitely need a plan, because you never want to do things. If a child has candida, you don't want to chelate, because once you chelate and pull out the heavy metals, you can make the candida worse. If a child's going to take B12 shots, we want to make sure their body's functioning. Some kids do amazing with B12, and some really get very hyper, so we have to have a clean body to be able to benefit from all of these. And then there's craniosacral, chiropractic, vision therapy. You know, and all of these, you would want to, again, keep a notebook, not only for the food, but all the different therapies to see where you're getting the most benefit. The nutraceutical supplements goes from vitamins to minerals to the fats, antifungals, which could be natural, the probiotics, amino acids. Again, the organic acid test is going to provide so much information here. You want to support the liver if there's a problem with detoxification phase 1 and 2. You want to support the adrenal system. Most kids need many of these type of remedies. And then phases, I just want to make a note about the supplementation. I personally, in my practice, do not bombard the child or the adult, for that matter, with all supplementation at one time. First, we need to know where's the imbalance. Then we say, okay, we need to work on this first. This is phase 1. Then there's phase 2 and phase 3. And we wait a week before introducing the next phase and adding on. And I always recommend to families, email me, let me know how that phase went so we could tweak it. We could see where we got the biggest wow, where we saw the most progress, you know, and that, again, goes back to notebook or journaling, and lots of people love to email and keep it online. So you don't want to throw everything at a child all at once. I'm not a big fan of a multivitamin that has, you know, 30 to 50 things in it, ingredients, vitamins in it, because it's not customized, and it could be benefiting in one area but making things worse in another. So that's why you want to phase things in. I mentioned about the excitotoxins, that's its dietary modifications, lowering the glutamate, any MSG, any soy, getting the right supplements, always eliminating toxins, treating and identifying infections, keeping the gut at a good balance. Lots of kids are on a lot of calcium, and sometimes they can't handle it, so a kid will get worse with calcium. You know, that's why, again, take the guesswork out, get some testing done, supporting ATP, which is part of the Krebs cycle, when we take the food and turn it into energy, and feeding the mitochondrial, very important. Methylation, can we detoxify? And getting rid of inflammation, inflammation in the stomach, inflammation in the brain, and we could do that with food and supplements. So we want to balance all of these things, the sleep, the bowel movement. Daily basis, everyone should be having a bowel movement, these children in particular, and then eliminating any residual of chemicals throughout the body. There's been a lot of talk in years past, started years ago, about the electromagnetic field exposure from, you know, the iPad, the phones, the TVs, the computers, and they're very necessary, but we could also protect the exposure as well. Not only are we concerned what you put in your body, but what you put on your body. So you also want to look into the soaps, the shampoos, the suntan lotion. All of this is very, very important. The water as well. Hopefully the child is drinking water. So many kids don't drink water. So you can start right away detoxifying the body by cleaning up the environment. There are toxins everywhere. Unfortunately, we live in a toxic environment, so knowing that and accepting it, and if we possibly can't change it, then we have to protect the body from it. And there's many ways to do that. So right away with the water, making it pure, making the food pure, looking at where the body has imbalances and needs support, that's going to help. Then one can go into chelation, and there's very natural chelation products now on the market. It doesn't have to be aggressive. So these therapeutic strategies, again, you want to make sure what's going to be the most healing. Take away what's most harmful. You know, my dad would always say, better your child cries now as opposed to you crying later. So if they love that, you know, chocolate chip cookie that's all artificial and it's not doing them any good, yes, it's better to take it away and give them one that's more healthy, that's more pure. So you look at all those areas where what could be causing harm or toxins and take it away. Treat every child as unique. Unique as a snowflake. That's what they are. And that's why we need to get them with the customized regimen just for them. And, you know, also keeping your notes and your journaling will help. Learn as much as you can. Again, you know, follow me on Twitter or Facebook. Follow other people as well who put up scientific research. Read those magazines that really, like Living Without and other ones that offer scientific research. And always trust your instincts. I always listen to the parents. They're with the child the most. We need to hear them and listen to them and always partner with a practitioner who will listen to you. And then adjust the interventions depending on the response of the child. You also should evaluate every option of treatment that you're doing so you could see, are you benefiting from this? Is the child benefiting from this? And match the child's needs to what treatment that they need as opposed to what someone else is doing. I highly recommend implementing one treatment at a time. If you're going to start the diet, just do the diet. Then add in the supplementation. If you're going to do the testing, do it before you add in any supplementation and before you change the diet to get a full baseline of where that child's at. If you're already on a quasi or 100% diet and on supplementation, well, I would keep the diet. I would never recommend going back and offending the child, but I would stop the supplements for 2 or 3 days and then do the testing. Chart the treatments to evaluate the progress, the way the schools chart the treatments and the programs. And, you know, goes back to scientific method. You don't want to just not have a plan. You want to follow some type of scientific approach where you have observation, and then you put together a hypothesis, and then you look at the data, and then you say, well, oh yeah, you know, this child was off, but what are the control variables? Were you at an amusement park? Was it during the holidays? Did they not get sleep? Did they come down with a cold? Those are what we call the control variables. Report results, and can you reproduce that? So you almost have to, you have to treat this with science. How to start. Educate everyone who's going to come in contact with your child so no one sabotages. Make sure they understand. If your partner's not on or your significant other's not on board, try to get them on board. Try to educate them, or at the least make sure they don't sabotage. We see that a lot. Take the guesswork out by checking and getting a functional medicine test done. Work with some practitioner who specialized in this, and that can guide you along the way, because it can be very overwhelming at the beginning. But then, you know, you have to go grocery shopping no matter what. So once you find out what's going to, you know, feed the child the best way, it's not overwhelming. At first it is. I always provide my families with a shopping list because this is how I cook. I've been gluten-free, casein-free, soy, corn, you know, free, and follow a clean diet for the past 15 years. So, you know, if someone says, oh, I need a replacement for this, okay, here it is. This is the store that sells it, or you could get it online. Keeping a food diary and a therapy diary, starting one thing at a time, removing all the bad things, and then introducing supplementation, or what we call nutraceutical regimen, because that also includes herbs and homeopathic remedies. And then remembering that this is worth it. The child's health is worth it. Your health is worth it, too. It's worth the investment of time and personal commitment. The rewards could be sky could be the limit. You know, I've never seen any child progress when they follow their customized regimen. How much they progress all depends on many factors. What to expect? There can be overeating of certain foods as the, you know, the diets change and there's balance going on. There can be a change in bowel movement. There can be a change in behaviors and rashes, nighttime laughing. It's like peeling the onion. Now we go through this and we might run into something else. It really all depends. There can be withdrawal and crankiness and fussiness, and we have to be able to go the distance because it's not always easy. I remember even with my own personal experience, it wasn't easy. Many times I would be down on my knees, you know, begging for mercy, either from my child or the situation. So I would recommend not getting overwhelmed. It's much easier said than done. There's days where you're going to be overwhelmed. And, you know, for the parents and the caregivers, I hope they're taking care of themselves as well. They're very stressed, and it's hard to implement a regimen when you're very stressed. So, you know, starting slowly. I would hate for someone to quit because of being overwhelmed. That's where you want to make sure you partner with the right people. Don't do everything at once. Get your child evaluated. Always follow your gut. Dialogue with other parents just to hear what's out there. Does not necessarily mean you have to do what they're doing, because, again, your child's unique, and it might not work for your child. Join a support group like this today, attending these webinars and seminars are very key. And if you want to receive monthly health tips, then on my website you could sign up for that. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm coming out with membership site on an online monthly basis, as well as an ebook that goes through all these different strategies that you can read and educate your practitioner with as well. I would say, but begin. Don't get so overwhelmed that you get paralysis from it because or denial from it, because that's not going to do your child any good, and you are your child's health advocate. And really testing, and then lots of people want to ask when they retest. You know, you don't really have to retest for 9 to 12 months because it really depends how many phases and how imbalanced the body is. So you do this test even if you do it on an annual basis to see, or you do it when the child's plateauing, or you tweak the regimen. So in conclusion, I would say I highly recommend biomedical and nutritional intervention to treat children on the autism spectrum. I saw it in my own personal experience. It was the miracle that really changed things. I see it for the past 15 years in the families that I have dealt with, and I have been privileged enough to work with and see their children grow and progress. And I would say, you know, take it slowly. And if there is a time where you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, just remember you're doing a great job for your child. And I commend all of you for listening today. And I do wish you the best of luck with the future for your child.
Thank you so much, Nancy. I never get tired of hearing you talk. You're so knowledgeable and enthusiastic about your subject and so encouraging. It can be difficult, but, you know, having somebody very supportive working with you would benefit anybody. I would like to take some calls now. And you mentioned that this diet helps with autism. You might have covered this, but Antoinette Dutoit from South Africa has a child who has been diagnosed with Asperger's, sensory processing disorder, central auditory processing disorder, low muscle tone, mixed anxiety disorder, ADD, and leaky gut. She says, I don't want to use medicine. I would prefer to use vitamins, supplements, and the natural route. Can vitamins and supplements take the place of medication for her son?
Yes. So I have seen through these 15 years that, first of all, it definitely can. The fact that she mentioned leaky gut, we know diet and supplementation are very much needed. So, you know, she would want to keep the diet as clean as possible. I would recommend for her to do the testing. They do the testing internationally as well. You know, I have patients throughout the world that we send the test kits all over. So it's if she hasn't done the testing, I would recommend it. If, if she could keep a diet very clean, and then add in the probiotics and the digestive enzymes, that's going to help with that. As far as the anxiety, we need to nourish the adrenal system. So we need to see how it's functioning. Is it, you know, with the test, you get to see, is this a mild, moderate, or severe imbalance? And from that, then you know, is it one, two, or three different things? As far as low muscle tone, I'd like to see what the fatty acid oxidation issue is of this child. Can they absorb fats? Can they break down fats? Because that's usually connected. And as far as the sensory and the auditory and the Asperger's and the ADD, that, you know, again, keeping the diet clean, removing any of the dyes, removing any of the foods this child cannot break down is going to be extremely beneficial. But then also, there are certain homeopathic remedies that help with the neurons and that help with focusing. So there's so many areas that she could do with her vitamins, her supplements, the natural route. And here we go again. There's something inside of her saying, there's got to be another way. Unfortunately, yeah. No one's ever told her yet, but that's her gut. And that's what I always say, follow. You know, I have seen children on medication, and we complement that. I have seen children not be put on medication from the regimen, and I have seen children come off of the medicine. So, you know, again, everyone's unique, but yes, I would highly encourage her to definitely go the natural route, you know, 100%.
Very good. We have a similar question. I really love the specificity of your answers. This may be it's a similar question. It may be a similar answer, and I sorry if I make you repeat yourself, but Carol Berry has a different type of situation here. She works with a 20-year-old who has been diagnosed with reflux, esophagitis, how do you say that? Multiple allergies. Multiple allergies and limited food preference. He's nonverbal, and at times he'll scream in pain and frustration. She knows he's hungry, and he puts food in his mouth, but he won't swallow. Medication, they've given him Prilosec and Tagamet with little change. She says, what can we do to help him in the short and long term?
So the medicines that he's taking are really a Band-Aid. They're not getting to the core issue. And that's, you know, so I'm, you know, some people need medicine, you know, I'm not saying I'm against medicine. Suppose someone has a strep throat and someone wants to go on an antibiotic, you know, okay, there's medicines that in certain health conditions people feel more comfortable with. But here we have all digestion, the acid reflux, the esophagus, he's getting burning sensations, and then he's screaming and crying, and, you know, food is supposed to be nourishing, not painful. Listening to this is painful to me because I feel for this individual who now cannot even communicate. All he's communicating is pain. Right away, probiotic, digestive enzymes. Want to look at the diet to make sure, you know, is there a balance between the acid and the alkaline? Is there the foods that this individual is having? Is it, is it very limited? You know, I would love to know what Is he eating? If it's causing more acid, that medicine is not going to help. We need to help his digestion. I would also be interested in the bowel movements. You know, that's the end of the digestive process. There's so many different areas to go, and you know, and that he's nonverbal. You know, so what can you see? Well, if he's not screaming and he's not in pain, you know, you're on the right plan, the right treatment. So a very high quality probiotic and digestive enzyme. And, you know, if she wants to email me, she could go right ahead.
That's very generous of you. I want to remind the audience, if you're dialing in and you want to ask a question, you can speak with Nancy directly. It'd be a great opportunity to really get a very specific answer to your question. So you can raise your hand by dialing in star 2. If you press star 2 on your phone, I will see that you wish to speak with Nancy, and I will put you on the line with her. So I highly encourage you to call in, please, and we will take some more email questions. Regarding testing, Chrissy from Sudbury says, I want to get my son tested for, as in blood test, but do not want to put him through the trauma of that. What are your thoughts on live blood analysis using only a drop on both the wet and dry slide? Would it give me enough info?
You know, I love the, as far as, I've done that on myself, and I really do like it. But I, for the food allergies, you can do the vial of blood, which I find very invasive. And I like the fact that she doesn't want the invasive route. When we do invasive treatments, we are stressing out the adrenal system even more, and we're shutting down digestion. So everybody gets stressed out. The mom gets stressed out, or the caregiver gets stressed out. I won't leave the dads out, as well as the child or the adult. So non-invasive would be the best way to go. And we actually run it's over 90 food allergies and candida testing with 5 drops of blood, and it's one prick, and it could be done in the finger or the heel, depending on how old. And, you know, once we get the blood, it just closes up. It's done, and that's it. And that gives so much information. So, yes, depending on the lab or who the practitioner is that's going to be doing the live blood, if they're doing it in-house, as long as they're experienced. And then if it's for food allergies, they send that out to the lab. So you want to make sure it gets sent out that day.
Fantastic. This may be more of a behavioral issue, but we all know that behavior and diet are connected somehow, especially when it's regarding food. I have a caregiver here that says, sometimes the boy I sit for doesn't eat. It may be possible due to his medications. Unfortunately, she doesn't list them. But she says, although I think it is more than just that, he doesn't want to sit still long enough to eat. Is that an issue? Should I worry or just let him go with it and let him be the decider? He's 8 and he has autism. What do you think, Nancy?
I was going to ask for the age, so I'm glad she said how old he is. It sounds like the adrenal system is overtaxed. And, you know, when we think about an overtaxed adrenal system, we think about a car that is revved up, but you can't get into one gear or the other. So it's constantly going. And eventually the motor will die, you know. So what we need is to regulate his energy and be able to calm himself. I would be interested in knowing if that child at night falls right asleep or takes a while to fall asleep. Now, the medicine, depending on the medicine, some medicines, you know, rev up kids. They're hyper. They're uppers. And some of them are downers. So, you know, it depends, when does he get his medicine, when does she see him, what medicine is he on, is anyone supporting the adrenal system? Because going back to the previous one where I said that medicine used for acid reflux and digestion, just a Band-Aid. Well, this is just a Band-Aid as well. So lots of kids need to be on medicine because if they're not, you know, they're impulsive, they may hurt themselves or hurt others. So it's advisable for the child to be on the medicine. But we also need to nourish the adrenal system. And there are certain nutritional markers that I would bet are very low. So I would do the functional medicine organic acid test to determine and then say, okay, you want to keep the child on the medicine, but look at these nutritional markers. Let's nourish that with supplementation, and let's also nourish these neurotransmitters that are very low. And those are the ones, our neurotransmitters, we have excito ones that excite the body, and we have other ones that compensate and keep the body calm. So it would be very interesting to see for this 8-year-old how his neurotransmitters are balanced or imbalanced, and then give remedies to support that. Because the child should be able to stay, you know, how is this child in school or in any other social gathering? So we need to try to break that. And how? Well, we need to support the child. You know, I always say to parents, punishment may not be what needs to be done here. Because they can't help it. Their bodies are turned on all the time. They're wired. We need to take care of those bodies, and then they could hopefully attend.
Yes, fantastic. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because people might look at that and say, you know, make them sit down, and that's really not possible for some of our children. You have to address the underlying issue before you can get them to sit down. Thank you, Nancy. Now, this is I have a question from Lisa in Youngstown. This testing and supplements can get very expensive, and she says, is there a low-cost way to do this? I'm interested in trying this for my child but can't afford anything like that. I hear a lot of parents spend so much to try this approach. How can she start out small?
Okay, so that's a great question. And first, you know, you want to look at your budget and say, could I afford, you know, $300+ to run an organic acid test? You know, lots of times you go to practitioners and they say you have to run all these tests, and it comes upward of thousands of dollars. So can you run the, first I would be like, can you run the base test? Yes or no? If yes, go ahead and run it. If no, then how's the diet? Are we following a clean diet? Let's put our efforts into following a clean diet. Now, lots of people say, oh, well, organic is expensive. Well, thank God, luckily, you know, the major grocery stores like Stop and Shop and wherever you are in the world, or, you know, whatever chain is in that area, are now carrying more organic. You can join a food co-op. There could be farmers markets. Now, farmers markets, local farmers markets, you have to be careful and really question the farmer and find out, are they organic? Or if they didn't spend the money to get the certification of organic, what natural pesticides do they use? So it could be that they don't use the chemical pesticides, but they use other things, and they haven't spent the, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to get the certification. So that's another area. Go to these farmers markets. And I know on the East Coast, the farmers market, even though they're only open from like May until December, these farmers actually will come down once a month. So you could, you know, buy your produce or your meats or whatever, and then just store that. Another way is, once you determine what your child likes, I would go on Amazon.com. There's a link, I believe it's still there, on my website, the Nancy Gabrody website, that has an idea of an Amazon store. So I've picked whatever products. Yeah, it's under the link store on the website. And there's an Amazon part that will show different foods that you could buy. So what we do is when we know we are going to be getting this particular bread or, you know, this food that's not perishable, we'll buy through Amazon and we'll buy it by the case. Now, a case could be 6 products. And then anything over $25 is free shipping. Another thing is if you have a Whole Foods, Trader Joe doesn't do this, but if you have a Whole Foods or a local health food store, and once you identify a food that the child or your family likes, ask them how many come in a case. And then if you buy by the case, do you get 10% off? So those are ways. Another thing is I used to be part of this biomedical group at a hospital, and we would have speakers come, and an accountant spoke, and he said once your child has a diagnosis of any type of condition that needs to be on a specialized diet and supplementation, all of that is tax refundable. So you put that, you keep all your receipts, or you use the same credit card. You know, if you use checks or cash, cash is the worst because you really have no proof unless you get a receipt. But if you go by checks or credit card, something that you could show, and at the end of the year you tally all of this up. And when one does the taxes, when you give your accountant your child's Social Security number, the next question is this child disabled? You know, so if they have a health condition, you could say yes, and then you put all of this under the medical. You put everything under there, the testing, especially if your insurance company doesn't reimburse you, because the labs don't necessarily take, most labs don't take it, so you have to pay out of pocket, and then if you get reimbursed, whatever the difference is, this is also co-pays. Everything goes under medical. Epsom salt, you're buying Epsom salts, you know, well, not many people are taking baths in Epsom salt. That goes under. You keep all the receipts. So at least if you get more money back at the end of the year, that helps you to for the following year. So I would say look for a local farmer's market that is natural. Talk to the farmer. If it's organic, that's even better. Go to the local chain grocery store. Ask them to carry certain things. Say your child likes the So Delicious coconut yogurt, but your grocery chain doesn't carry it. Bring it in and ask them to carry it. And then buy a case. You know, it'll catch on. And then you could tell other families in the neighborhood. Or you could go as a family unit if you create your own local support group. All of you could go to the health food store. Then look at Amazon. Next thing is if you can do the first test, I would do an organic acid test. If you can't, then I would do the diet at first, the first step then.
Great, great, fantastic advice. What great advice. I didn't even know that you – who would think of putting Epsom salts as a tax deduction? Great advice, Nancy. Speaking of diet, Michelle from Clovis asks, can you please elaborate on how diet can cause unexplained laughter and affect sleep patterns? What are some possible corrective steps?
Well, if the child has candida and the child's having simple carbohydrates, that's the breads, the pasta, anything, pastries, cookies, sweets, it's going to feed the candida. And you have to think of the child's body as, if you think of a beach bucket, okay, and it's empty, right? Now it has candida. So you fill that bucket up halfway. And now every single time this child has any type of sugar, or any simple carbohydrate, or bread, or bagel, or pasta, or cookie, or cake, you're going to put a cup of water into that bucket. Eventually, that bucket is going to overflow, and that beach bucket's going to overflow onto the sand. Well, when that bucket overflows, that's when you get sleep issues, nighttime laughter, giggling inappropriately. And we need now, how do we remedy this? Well, we need to get that water from stop overflowing in that bucket, and the bucket being the child's body. So we need to remove the stuff that is feeding the candida. Candida is a fungus that grows in the small intestines where it's damp and dark, and it doesn't want to go away. And that's what makes the child crave those foods even more. So it's a vicious, vicious cycle. So we need to remove that is toxic food to that child. Then I would want to know, does the child have a bloated stomach? Does the child experience gas? Those are other things. Did the child ever have any little bumps on the skin, any skin issues whatsoever? So as we remove it, then the symptoms go away.
Fantastic. Great. Great answer. Here's a great question. Before I ask this question, can I get clarification for myself and the people out there what PANDAS is?
Well, PANDAS is a condition that your pediatrician should be able to diagnose. So I'm assuming maybe they haven't gotten it diagnosed, but it's an acronym that stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorder. So they're associated with strep infections. So lots of times kids on the spectrum, if they get strep, they then act out that they have PANDAS. And it's a rapid onset of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. It could also be accompanied with tic disorders while the child has this strep infection. And, you know, you could check that with a blood test. And then what's going to be what the doctor is going to recommend are antibiotics. So I would recommend finding a local compounding pharmacy that could create the antibiotic without any dyes. Like, you know, they'll say, oh, you need an antibiotic. Do you want bubble gum or grape? But no, I don't want either one, because bubble gum and grape are garbage. They're artificial. And so what you could go to the compounding pharmacy is just say, I need this antibiotic. The doctor would have to write gluten-free, casein-free, soy-free, sugar-free. So they could take that antibiotic and thicken it with you don't want to use cornstarch either. So they could use a non-cornstarch thickener, and they could use stevia or xylitol to sweeten it. So that's what I would recommend if they had to go on medicine. But now for the question.
Thank you so much for that explanation. I actually never really knew what that was. And so she, Illinois, I know a lady who is extreme in treating her autistic boy for PANDAS. Is there any advice I can give her on it? Have you any ideas on this diagnosis? I signed up for the group to see if it may be affecting the little boy that I see. I guess she says she babysits and she wants to know. So you already answered some of that. Is there any advice you can give her and any ideas about this?
Well, I would be, so it sounds like she's not 100% sure if there's a valid or true diagnosis.
Right.
So, you know, now, and when she talks about, it sounds like there's a pretty strict regimen that's going on. I'd like to know in what area is the strict regimen going on? Is the child on medicine unnecessarily? And then are there ramifications with that? If they are on antibiotics, is this child being treated just 100% conventional medicine, or is this child also receiving probiotics and also nourishment for the adrenal system? So, you know, and then does this child follow a healthy regimen? So, you know, we have some families that will say, oh, my child gets PANDAS, you know, he's on the spectrum, he or she, and, you know, so we just treat with antibiotics, but then you see the kid eating Doritos. So I would recommend, A, there being a really clean diet. Sugar should be at the low time. It should not be high at all. It should be 32 grams or less for a child that could be susceptible for this, because when you have sugar, your immune system is weakened. And we don't want that immune system to be weakened. We want to boost the immune system. We want a very clean diet with really good green vegetables. Would be great if they juice kale and, you know, like maybe throw in one apple. I would do kale, parsley, cilantro, lemon, stuff like that. So lots of protein, healthy protein, get the child to sleep on time because that also affects the immune system, and nourish the body with natural supplements. If that's what the child is doing and perhaps they feel that that's too strict, actually that's a really good plan because it's very healthy. But in this modern society, it's not the norm. If that's not the case, but the child's just on conventional meds and everything else is pretty unhealthy, well, then those are areas that I would suggest, the diet, the sugar, and the sleep, and also nourishing the immune system as well as the adrenal system.
Thank you. And the last sentence, I believe you already answered, but just to reiterate, she's wondering if it is affecting the little boy that I see. I believe you said that a pediatrician can do a test?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So she can see her pediatrician. Thank you. I want to remind the audience, please, if you have a question for Nancy, you can speak to her directly, and you see what kind of very specific answers she gives. So press star 2 to raise your hand, and I will call on you to speak with Nancy. I don't have any calls yet. Please, folks,
you know,
call
what?
In. Yes?
Minta, just one more thing. There's a, I don't know, where did that previous caller, where did that little boy, do we know where they lived?
The pandas?
Is question. Yes.
The
if they're on the East
Illinois.
Coast.
Illinois.
Oh, okay. Because there is a doctor, a child neurologist that specializes in pandas, and I know that she does do phone consults, and that the doctor's phone number is 201-236-3876. There's a lot of testing that this doctor does require, and you don't have to go there in person, but lots of the tests are blood work, so it is invasive. But, you know, maybe this mom has done the testing already. I'm not sure.
Thank you for that advice.
I just wanted to throw that out. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Just in case she didn't get it, can you repeat that number again?
Okay. Let me get that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You already closed it up.
I just, yeah.
You know what? There is transcripts available. She can get a transcript. That's fine.
Or she could even email me again. The website is neurokidsr.us. So it's neurokidsr.us. And the phone number was 201-236-38. 76.
Thank you.
And if
so
anyone
much.
Has a, you know, a general question, they could always email me at nancy@nancygruberti.com. And there are my previous radio shows are also on there that they could listen to.
That's fantastic. I'm going to be on there, I know. while we're waiting for some callers to call in, could you please tell us a little bit more about biomedical testing? Is that what it's called, biomedical testing,
you know,
right?
It's biomedical intervention and their functional medicine testing. So basically what functional medicine tests are so great about is it shows how your body is functioning. So it's not like, okay, I go to the cardiologist and I just find out about my heart, but then, you know, well, what about my stomach? Because if I'm not breaking down the fats, maybe that's what's clogging up my heart. So here we go with functional medicine testing. We look at your GI health. How are you getting rid of candida and bacteria? Do you have beneficial bacteria? Do you have pathogenic bacteria, the bad bacteria? Do you have H. pylori? Do you have E. coli? Do you have fungus and candida and parasites? I mean, lots of kids have parasites as well. Can you break down fats? Are you turning your protein into amino acids? How's your vitamin D and your bone health? How's your detoxification? How is your Krebs cycle? So can you take the food in and turn it into ATP energy and feed your mitochondrial? Then we look at nutritional markers, and you know, the B vitamins, the vitamin C, which is the precursor to glutathione. How's your glutathione? How's your N-acetylcysteine? And it checks your COQ10 in two different areas as well. So we get a feel for that. Then we also then go into your neurotransmitters. How's your adrenal system? Are you stressed? Okay, well, which neurotransmitters then are imbalanced, the ones that excite or the ones that don't? And is this body, another great marker we'll check, is this body susceptible to the excitotoxins like from corn and NutraSweet and all that other stuff? So that's one test. That's the organic acid test. The stool test is great to really see how, you know, your body is functioning, how much of the good bacteria do you have. It checks all the bad stuff. It then checks drug resistance to certain medications as far as antibiotics. It will show, can you break down the fats? Are you getting enough extraction of calories from your food? It checks your short chain and long chain fatty acids and your digestive enzymes. That's another great test. The peptide test is great to know about the gluten-free, casein-free diet. And then the heavy metal test, it could be as non-invasive as a hair test, which is also very beneficial. There are certain tests that I recommend taking at the beginning, and certain tests that we could wait on. And then it goes with, well, how much can we spend on this? You know, we want to find the most cost-effective way to get the information we need. So we start off with the most important test, depending on that unique individual. And then if that gives us all the information, and then what I do is I take that information from the test as well as from the initial consult, and it's either in person, phone, or Skype, and that lasts 60 to 90 minutes. I take those two things, and I spend 3 to 4 hours customizing a regimen. Behind the scenes, I put together an Excel spreadsheet and say, phase one, here's this supplement, and what are we working on? I want the person, I want the caregiver, the parent, to be fully empowered. Why am I giving my child this? Because he or she has this condition or this imbalance, and that's what we're fixing. And then I say, email me during the week. I want to know, how did this child do? And then the next week, we add in. So we're like a pyramid. We're building. We need to get rid of any imbalances in the stomach before we start addressing the other issues, because we have to make sure the bodies could absorb. Otherwise, you're spending all this money. I mean, we talk about cost-effective. It's worth it to do that one test. Otherwise, you're spending money on supplements and you don't even know if this child can absorb it. So here you're like, oh, I'm giving this. It's supposed to be great. Why am I not seeing anything? Well, maybe the child can't absorb it. So cost effectively, it's worth it to do at least one test and have an initial consult, you know, and then get your follow-up with a customized regimen. You know, I have so many parents that say, well, how often do I have to come back? Well, you know, I would do the initial consult and the follow-up, and then after that, it really depends on the child's progress and what you need, you know. So some people I don't see for 6 months. Some people want to, for the first 6 months, they want to see me every 6 weeks. It really depends. And again, you want to find a practitioner that really you could partner with. There's chemistry. They care about your child. They care about your well-being as well, because this is really a family affair. If it affects your child, it affects the family.
Certainly. There are just so many factors. It can be overwhelming. There's just so many factors that affect things. But, you know, I like that you say start with the diet first, your environment, then the diet. That's such sound advice. Again, if you want to speak to Nancy, you can call in. If you're dialing in, please press *2, and you can ask her a question directly. And if you are Skyping or you're at your computer, you can please just email me a question. We have a new question from Marcy Booth from Winnetka. She wants to know, is PANDA something that can come and go or recur on occasion?
I see many children who will get those, you know, they'll get very OCD and have, you know, look like Tourette's as well during the time of winter. And they may not have come up positive on the test, you know, the blood test, but they are, you know, we are exposed to a lot of bacteria and fungal in the environment and in the air from other people as well. So maybe they were exposed to it, or, you know, their immune system is very weakened in the winter time, and you know, that's where, or seasonal allergy time, where their body's taking so much stress, and that's when the conditions come. So yes, I have seen kids that it's, you know, it comes and goes.
I see. Now, I've heard it said, and I don't even know if this is true, but I've heard it said that autistic children, children on the spectrum, have a lower immune system. Is this true, and what can we do to strengthen their immune system?
Again, we go back to the fundamentals. We have to make sure the diet is balanced. We have to make sure it's clean. There's a balance, when I say balance, of protein and complex carbs, the broccoli, the kale, you know, the green vegetables, less on the starch, because that's really not doing much for us, and lots of minerals from the vegetables as well. So then we want to lessen the sugar, because that wreaks havoc on our immune system and adrenal system. And then we need proper sleep, uninterrupted sleep. And we need the stress to be at a low, otherwise that shuts down digestion. So, yes, the immune system is connected for many kids on the spectrum, because so many imbalances are going on, and they might not be receiving the most nutritious food regimen, because they're very picky. Some of them could be very picky, and it's picky for the comfort foods, not the nutritional foods. So, and then they get resistant to antibiotics if they're having meats that are not free range or organic, because they have residue of antibiotics. So we have to look at the child's environment, food intake, sleep pattern, sugar intake, and then also look at any, you know, what are the genetic family bring to the table? Did the mom or dad have allergies themselves? How are their immune systems? And see, you know, okay, so that child then may be more vulnerable. But, you know, it sounds like there's a bunch of factors that we have to definitely look into when we talk about the immune system. And then that goes back to one of the earlier slides, the gut immune system and the gut-brain connection. So it's all connected.
Yeah, I loved when you said you can't just look at the head. You know, you have to look at the whole body. That seems to be, you know, it's such a big issue. Well, we are just about out of time, Nancy. I've got some questions coming in, but if you did not have your question answered, Nancy, can you give us your contact information one more time? And you just to say, you know, you had said that people are welcome to contact you. Can you give that contact info one more time, please?
So it's Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y, at nancygubertie.com, and that's N-A-N-C-Y-G-U-B, as in boy, E-R-T, as in Tom, I.com. And the website is just nancygubertie.com. You could listen to the radio shows, read the blogs. You could also follow me on Twitter or Facebook at Nancy Gubertie.
Fantastic. And you do phone consultations. So wherever anybody lives, you can help them, right?
Yeah, it would be an honor for me to help the families.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you for being with us. We're out of time. Thanks for sharing your expertise with us, and thank you, audience, for tuning in. We'll see you again in half an hour. Thank you.
Thank you.